AJ, first, congratulations on what was really a wonderful postseason run, a very successful season here in San Diego. Before we get to the look ahead to 2023, the evaluation of 2022, first, what was this last month or so like for you watching this team advance, and what were you like watching these very intense postseason games?
Yeah, I said it all the time. I think nervous, anxious, excited. I think all those emotions. I think just like all the fans of San Diego watching the games, I think a lot of those same feelings and emotions. You know, the game would end and you'd want the next, you know, the first pitch of the next game to start in, you know, a few minutes, and, you know, kind of waiting for the next game was always, you know, kind of the toughest part. But once the game started, you know, that was a lot of fun.
What will you appreciate most about this particular team in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, like, I think a lot's been said about, you know, wasn't quite the easiest path all the, you know, the whole way. I think just even the lockout starting in the off season, so there was limited contact, you know, going into spring training and then the delayed spring training start, new staff, you know, with Bob and his group, so trying to put that together pretty quickly. You know, obviously the Tatis injury in spring training, then the eventual, you know, him not playing the year with the suspension, the new faces at the deadline, Bob's health. I mean, right. You know, we're seeing Ryan Christensen and Ryan Flaherty do a great job and you know, in the interim. And then into the postseason run. So I think just like proud of the group that, you know, with a lot of challenges, a lot of different things thrown their way, that, you know, we played our best baseball at the end of the year. I think it was probably because of some of those, you know, setbacks or different hurdles that were thrown in front of the group. I think they were battle tested. And when we got to the end of the year, I think all that played out. And, you know, I think the best part of the year, obviously, was, you know, qualifying for the playoffs and then the different series and, you know, getting to Philadelphia. And I think leaves us hungry to do more here going forward.
You talk about playing your best baseball at the end of the year, and we see it postseason after postseason where, you know, sometimes it's really about how you're playing when you get to October. As a decision maker, as a GM, how do you assess that part of it, of building a team that is not only built to win in the regular season and make the postseason, but also get hot at the right time and play their best baseball, as you said, in the month of October?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, the getting hot part, I think that's you know, that you can't really account for. I think, you know, I think the biggest thing is you just want a team that's complete and a team that has, you know, impact players that have the ability to raise their game in the biggest moments, because they're, you know, they have, you know, real talent and real makeup. And I think, you know, you want a team with as few holes as possible and, you know, and plenty of strengths. And I think we, you know, again, when you look at, you know, the impact starters that can dominate a game and get you deep, power bullpen pieces that can shut a game down late, and then, you know, you need both quality at bats, guys that are quality at bat takers, and especially in the postseason where all the information is so much more, the advanced scouting, the quality of the pitching. You need guys that can live in the strike zone and then can do damage once the ball is, you know, is thrown in the strike zone. So, again, like, I don't think there's any real formula in terms of, like, hey, we're trying to get a team hot or have a team, like, that's a little different look than in the regular season. I think it's like building a complete team, and you know, I think we tried to do that this year, and we'll try to build on that going forward.
You mentioned the ups and downs, some of the challenges this team faced in 2022. How much did the steadiness, at least it seemed to us looking from the outside in, of Bob Melvin help this team through all those different challenges?
Yeah, I think Bob, again, like, I think he's consistent day to day. Obviously he's got experiences, so this was not his first rodeo here this year, you know, going through it. So I think that's a real part of it. You know, he's been in the postseason before, and you know, I think really, you know, from Bob and the whole coaching staff, you know, you've got former managers on the staff. You know, a guy like Mike Shildt as well that filled in for different, you know, for different staff members when there was, you know, when there was some injury, some illness, I should say, from the coaching staff standpoint. I think all that played, you know, played a role. And, you know, again, I think it all was part of our team's success here this year.
I want to focus on a couple of items looking ahead towards 2023. Obviously, there are a number of different position groups, pitching, hitting, first base, take your pick as far as what you might be focused on in the offseason. Before even we begin all the free agency and before the World Series ends, what area, is there an area that you're kind of from the outset here most focused on? Is there a position or two you're already kind of zeroed in on that's most important to this team in 23?
Yeah, I think in general, like, I think we feel like, you know, we have a core and a foundation that's in place, you know, with, Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove in the rotation, Hader and others in the back of the bullpen, Garcia, Suarez, Tim Hill, guys that pitch there, towards the end of the year. And then, you know, from a roster standpoint, a lineup standpoint, you know, getting Fernando back with Juan Soto and Manny and, you know, with Cronenworth and others, I think, we always look at starting pitching. We've got Manaea and Clevenger as free agents, and I think that'll be an area you can never have starting pitching. We'll look to add there. And then, you know, in the bullpen, kind of reconfiguring the group every year, adding a different look, giving Bob and Ruben different options. And then, you know, from a roster standpoint on the lineup side, you know, with Josh Bell and Brandon Drury being free agents, there's some bats there that we have a chance to add. But I think the big pieces are in place, and now it's kind of about, like, adding to the current core.
And obviously one of those big pieces that will return in April of 2023, Fernando Tatis Jr. I know you said earlier during the press conference that it's really about getting him on the field first and foremost, but what are some of the factors that may go into where he would play in 2023 when he comes back?
I think the biggest thing, what we think is best for him, and then what's best for the ball club, you know. And I think, I think in terms of, like, you know, his skill set, he presents, you know, he's a great athlete. He's obviously, you know, ability to play shortstop, and having, you know, your best athlete and your best player in the middle of the diamond. But we've also seen him be able to go out to the outfield. We've been able to see him move around the field in different shift positions. And then we've had other guys step up in his absence, you know, and I think we'll factor all of that in. You know, a lot of those conversations will start taking place here in the next week as we sit down with our baseball ops staff, our scouting group, you know, Bob and the coaching staff, kind of weigh everybody's opinion, talk to Fernando as well. But ultimately, like, I think we're going to do what's best for the team, and, you know, and what's best for the individual players, but we're going to do what we think is best for the club, and he gives us some versatility and some flexibility, and, you know, we'll try to have some clarity going into spring training.
Before I let you go, as a former minor league guy myself, I got to ask you about the minor leagues. So after dealing away a number of pretty significant high-level prospects during the summer in the Juan Soto trade and some of the moves that have been made by this club in the past few years, how would you assess the farm system entering 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're, again, like, we take a lot of pride in having strong farm systems. And I think, you know, in the last 6 years, we've always been, felt like we've, you know, had you know, one of the best, if not the best, accumulation of talent in the minor leagues. You know, I think last year going into the year, you know, I think maybe in some of the rankings we weren't quite ranked as high, and I think maybe a little bit of that was just maybe tiredness of the Padre farm system, and we've made some trades that maybe people, you know, were questioning some of the depth, et cetera. But I think as we saw throughout the year, we have a lot of faith in our scouts and our coaches to produce players that other clubs want, and more so that hopefully can play for us in Petco. I think, you know, you look in the last couple months what the Elsinore team did, you know, what we did in AAA. I think Jackson Merrill clearly is a guy that's opened a lot of eyes, both in the postseason there and in the Cal League, and then especially in the Fall League right now. Victor Lizarraga is a young pitcher, you know, probably high school age, and he's pitching his team to a championship. So there's a lot of guys that we feel really good about. I think they're going to continue to matriculate towards the big league level, and, you know, it's always a priority for us is being strong in the farm system.
AJ, thanks so much for the time. Again, congratulations on really what was a wonderful postseason run, and thank you for everything you've done for me this season. Great getting to know you here in my rookie season here in 2022. Thanks so much, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Sam, appreciate it, man.
All right, AJ Preller, the Padres president of baseball operations and general manager, will also be joined by Padres CEO Eric Grubner here in a second. Braden, let's send it back to you for a moment as we get set up with Eric.